day to day, as we are prepared, I can see members are fresh from the weekend, and I want to thank that. Our business of the day is to really deliberate on the Civil Aviation Amendment Bill. There are documents that are sent to us. The bill itself has been sent to us this morning, and I'm sure members have seen it. And we also have a document that is easily known as the A-list. That document has all the proposed amendment to Civil Aviation Amendment Bill, Bill 44 of 2018. It starts right from page 1 after line 5, clause 1 up to clause 65, and we'll be dealing with schedules and end up right where we have the designation of the entity, and I'm sure members are ready. We'll then polish quickly what the leftovers of the deliberations on the Economic Regulation of Transport Bill, Bill number 1 of 2020. And then we'll then take the minutes of the third, the second and the third. We have them, I've gone through them. And I'm sure members should be ready for that. And that is basically the business of the day. Let me welcome everybody, the department officials, from Parliament, state law advisors, parliamentary advisors, and our own officials, Mayor Valerie Mahlathi, Dr. Ngezi, Advocate Nell, and the honorable members who are here with us here. A very good morning to all of you. Let us start this meeting by having greeted everybody, allowing the advocate that is capable and ready to take us forward. Advocate Alma Nell, a very good morning to you, ma'am.
Morning, Chairperson. Morning, members. This morning is actually my colleague, Mr. Jenkins, that has to take you through the A list. I know members really enjoy hearing my voice, but I think today, especially for the civil aviation one, I really have to hand the reins to our parliamentary legal advisor and state law advisor on the A-list that they did, Chairperson.
Am I correct that this is the second A-list? We had an A-list last year already, but seemingly there is some agreement on this A-list. From you, state law advisors, parliamentary advisors, and the department. Am I correct?
Yes, Chair. The A-list that members had last year was also prior to the second round of submissions, where we did that amendment for SACA's preferential creditor status. So that A-list has to be beefed up with all of members' recent additions that we have to add, and some of the other aspects that the department also identified through the reading. It also includes some of the submissions that the department has agreed to from the second round as well. So, Chair, this is the much more comprehensive A-list than the one that members had in August. The 5 March one, or yesterday's date, 8 March one, is the one that members will be looking at today. It has been looked at by State Law Advisor, Parliament, and the Department, and they are happy with the content. We just need to get members' agreement to that and make sure that we captured members' views correctly, Chair.
Thank you very much, Advocate Almanel. Valerie? I'm sure we do not have any apologies.
Chair, you actually have apologies from Mr. Sitlolo, who has family responsibility engagements this week. Mr. Yabo is with the Higher Education Committee this morning, and Mr. Sithole is with the Tourism Committee.
Okay, thank you very much.
Chair, also Mr. Pete May is struggling to connect, but we should have him online in the next few minutes.
Okay, thank you very much. Valerie, Advocate Frank Jenkins, are you with us, sir?
I'm with you, sir. I'm with the honorable members and yourself. Good morning.
Thank you very much. Let me just check all the legal minds that are with us here.
Sure.
And those that are quiet. Can they really introduce themselves so that I do not say they were not here when they are here? Just a minute. Now I see Ntando Noluchungu's name. Are you a legal person, honorable member? Can they quickly introduce themselves? Valerie, who do we have here as a legal mind?
Chair, for now, it seems like we only have Mr. Jenkins. I don't see Mr. Quetta yet online. If he joins, then I will let you know.
I want to know so that I know. Thank you very much, Valerie. Advocate Jenkins, over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, I'm going to have a challenge this morning. I'm going to need to upload the A-list. What I would like to just start off with saying to members that what I'm going to present or go through with the committee, the A-list, those are now the amendments we're making to the amendment bill, the insertion of various definitions, which the committee has in principle agreed upon. So we're looking at the wording. Are we capturing the thoughts correctly? And is everything there, Chairperson? So that's the system, Chair. I'm going to try and upload it. I'm going to actually ask Valerie to do it, Chair. I'm just going to take too much time to figure this out. If that's possible, please, Valerie, just to upload that A-list I sent to you yesterday that was prepared by my colleague, Mr. Quetta, the State Law Advisor. We checked through it, and I think it captures what the committee intends to do, Chair. I mean, I can try and upload it, but the challenge, Chair, is going to be that
the IT is not on your side.
IT is not on my side, Chair.
Okay, I hear you. Don't worry. Sure. Let's ask Valerie. Valerie?
Chair, I've asked Advocate Nell to do it because I don't have fiber. I use LTE Wi-Fi, so my Wi-Fi is not stable enough.
No, it's okay. Advocate, please come to our rescue.
Thank you.
We're also part of this generation that has to ask people to upload. Yes, Advocate, are we ready now?
We're ready, Chair. So there we have the new A-list prepared. So we can go on to the, let's just get straight into business, Chair. The first one is an amendment to clause one of the bill. These are now proposed amendments, and where members feel I need to go to the bill to see what it will look like, we'll do that, Chair. But the first is just an insertion of the definition of aerodrome, Chairperson. I think we've spoken through it, and that aerodrome, of course, replaces airport where it is. So that's the insertion of aerodrome in the definition of manager. So we're having the definition of aerodrome manager there, Chairperson. I can read through it if you would like. It means any person appointed in writing by the owner or management of an aerodrome to act in such capacity. Or any person in control of an aerodrome, and includes any person appointed in writing by an owner of an aerodrome management to discharge any function imposed or to exercise any power conferred upon an aerodrome manager by this act. So, Chair, that's the first insertion. I stop off each one and then you'll just ask the members, Chair?
Yes, thank you very much. You have the mantra. Let me see happiness, members. This is what we said, happiness. Members will show by hands, please. Baba Olisa Mangu.
Supported, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chambers. Supported. Any seconder?
Seconded, Chair.
Thank you very much. That is Honorable McDonald. Let's move forge ahead, Advocate Jenkins.
Thank you, Chair. What we see there in the second point, Chair, that's just consequential. We, of course, now delete the definition of airport manager. So one can take that as that's the first area. So the second chairperson is definition insertion of air service in the bill. Means any service operated by means of an aircraft to transport passengers, freight, or mail. So that's just the definition that's included there, Chair, that we needed.
Thank you very much. Let me see hands. Supporting Baba Olisa Kwamanu.
Supported, Chair.
I can see.
Supported, Chair.
Honorable McDonald is supporting. Honorable Miriam Ramadwa. Thank you very much. Let's forge ahead, Advocate.
Thank you, Chair. The next is another definition insertion, if we can go down. That is on page 3 of the bill. The substitution for the definition of designated airports. So we're bringing now, we're removing airport and we're putting in designated aerodrome. So the new definition will read a designated aerodrome. As members can see, those in square brackets is what we remove. Those that are underlined is what we insert. So the designated aerodrome means any company airport as defined in Section 1 of the Airports Company Act and includes any airport or heliport designated by the minister in terms of Section 4, Sub 5 of the Act. So that's the, I think that's the last definition we've said, inserting there, Chairperson.
Honorable members, may I see hands that support, and thereafter I will propose that as we go through, we take it the other way around, if it's acceptable, that if there is no hand that is up, it means it is supported. Does it make sense, honorable members?
Fully supported, Chairperson.
Baba Olisa Kwamanu.
Supported, Chair, but could he take more than one at a time?
I
don't know how many he can take. Then what, we take your proposal.
Yeah. Okay, you take my proposal. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Olisa Kwamanu, as you are lowering your hand, sir.
Chairperson. Thank you, Chair. We are done now with Clause 1, amendments to Clause 1 of the bill, except for that insertion there, so the, to insert the before civil aviation, or to insert civil aviation after the first the. I think that's just a textual correction, Chair. I'll go on to Clause 4. Of the bill, we're making amendments to the amendment bill. Now on clause 4, after line 54, we're inserting a paragraph there, Chair, just to give the minister the power there. The minister may, we're inserting there a sub 5 chairperson. The minister may, in addition to the company airports defined in Section 1 of the Airports Company Act, by notice in the Gazette, designated any other aerodrome. Again, that's a consequential thing for the purpose of this act. So that will, Chair, I'll go through those rather quick as requested by the members, because we're changing airport to aerodrome everywhere in the bill, and it'll just be consequential. I'll just refer to them, Chairperson. So on clause 8, the following amendments, substitution, the following paragraphs, Chair, what we're doing there, we're putting in a paragraph E, Parliament must conduct interviews. That's what we... in terms of the investigation committee, Parliament must conduct interviews and make recommendation of at least 7 names in order of preference to the minister to appoint 5 members to the Airport Safety Investigation Board. That's what member or the committee required, that they have that input into the process to get that independent panel established, chairperson. So that's the wording we came up with there, chairperson. I don't know if that is something we members want to pause at, otherwise I'll just carry on, chair, but maybe let me... I mean, the next one is just, chairperson, I think the next one is just textual again, it's just a correction, the dates of the act that we spoke about as well, just to change it from 93 to 96. Chairperson, the others, insert parliament. Yeah.
For the B, let me check whether I'm still having my members. I will expect a hand if there is an issue that the members wants to raise. Otherwise, if there are no hands, it means members are fine. Going once, twice. Let's forge ahead, advocate. Members are happy.
Thank you, Chair. So I said we're inserting after Minister Parliament on page 18 of the bill, chairperson. We don't have the bill in front of us, but page 18 of the bill, where that is happening, Chair, that specific provision, 929, I must just get my bill, Chair. That's what we required. It's the... Section 41 or clause 41 of the accident aircraft or incident investigation report. So that's just a report, and that's also going to be submitted to Parliament, chairperson. Because as the provision was, it goes to the public before it comes to Parliament. So that's what we're trying to achieve there. That's point three, of the minister to insert Parliament. Chair, I'm going to forge ahead. Just a correction, the next one on page 20, to omit and to substitute or. Chairperson, that specific one on page 20, I'll just tell the members. What I'm doing, Chair, is I'm just going back to my bill. Obviously, advocate. That was a correction, Chair, on clause 46. Opening of accident and investigation. So it makes it easier to reopen that or to so it's not an and, because it was what the provision was. It was new and significant evidence that has come forward, and the findings of the Aviation Safety Investigation Board have been set aside. I was saying it can be either or, just to give the members some context of that specific amendment. Chair, there we're getting the bill next to us now, Chair. That might help us to get context. Thank you very much, Advocate Now. I appreciate that. Chairperson? The next amendment is on page 21. We're inserting a new subsection there. And it says an inquest must be conducted in respect of any aircraft accident or incident resulting in death in terms of the Inquest Act, and the results of the inquest must be communicated to the next of kin of the deceased. That was insertion of the committee to make it mandatory to investigate these accidents, chairperson, that it's not a discretion, that's the automatic trigger to get the investigation done, chairperson. That's the wording that's proposed there, chair. So I don't know if I'm just maybe the next one, chair, then we go to clause 13.
Before you go to the next one, there is a hand. Honorable member Ulisa Komanu.
Chair, thank you. I just want clarity so that as we read, I don't ask the same question. The five you went to, Advocate Jenkins, in the Act itself, on the left, it is underlined. But on the right here, you seem to be inserting something on top of the underlined, or what is the significance of the underlined one in the Act that is put parallel to this? I see the insertion, which is sub clause 2, which starts with an inquest and so forth. I'm okay with it, but my question is, what is the reference or the significance of the underlined 51 on the Act as it is that we are amending? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Member, Advocate Jenkins.
Chairperson, what is underlined in the bill, what is underlined in the bill is what we're going to change in the Act. So that specific one, if we're looking at paragraph 5 of the draft A-list now, which starts with we're inserting that sub 2 after line 51 on page 21 of the bill. I think we're on page 22 of the bill there, but page 21 of the bill, Chairperson, is right at the end. So it's what we're doing there, we are inserting another paragraph, and what it would look like, Chair, the line on the side of the paragraph is all, it indicates that all those clauses there are new and it comes into the bill. So what we're doing with the A-list, we're going to expand that. We're going to put that sub at the bottom of that power to court to inquest. We're going to put another subsection there, Chairperson. It's going to be underlined as well, and the significance is it's going into the Act, so it'll become part of the Act. Square brackets means we're removing it from the Act, Chairperson.
And
I hope I've answered the member.
Baba Ulisa,
no, Chair, I'm not responded to. If I understand well, on the bill itself that we are dealing with, it's under the heading access to onboard recordings by other investigators. We are saying then on the A list, clause 5, we are saying on page 21 after line 51. I correct that line 51 is the one that says the Aviation Safety Investigation Board, or is it, am I reading at the wrong place?
Yeah, you are reading at the wrong place, honorable member. You see,
so
the
where place- is Where is line 51?
Okay, let me help you. You see, the chair is going to help you. You see the bill, ne? On the right-hand side of the bill, there are numbers. The current section on the screen starts from 20 upwards there. Up there, can you see 20? On the right, 20. Unmute yourself, honorable member, so that
sorry,
I can.
Chair. I can see 20, 25, 30, 35, 40.
Then you go to 50, ne?
Yes, Chair.
Under 50 there, the line there, under 50, that blue, the line that has been colored blue, can you see it?
Yes, Chair.
That will be our 51, honorable member. Because
but that's not what the A list is saying, Chair. The list says after line 51, we are going to insert the following. Where is line 51?
Okay,
are inserting after.
Let me explain. Let's take...
Yes,
let's take between 30 and 35.
Yes, sir.
As an example, you see, if they say after 30, 31 will be immediately there where they are coloring. It's not written, but we take it that the sentence is between 30, 35, it will be 31, 32, up to 34. I don't know if you get you get what I'm saying, sir. We have not.
Yes, sorry, sir.
It is not written 30, 31, but 30 starts with despite any provisions. Then 31 will be the next line. And 32 will be the following, 33, 34, then 35. I know Advocate Jenkins, I am explaining this thing the way it should be explained. Am I correct, Advocate?
Person, yes, you are correct. Maybe if I can put it you're 100% correct, Chairperson. What is happening here, and maybe there's significance, I don't want to get too off the track, but what we're dealing with here, we're having that after line 51, we have to insert the new paragraph, an inquest must be conducted. But unfortunately, on the same page, we also have clause 51 of the bill, which I think is a bit confusing, but we're not dealing with that. That's clause 51. We're dealing with right at the bottom of the page, we're inserting it.
I think I hear what the members say. On page 21, you are saying after this line that you colored blue, ne? Color that line, right? What is after that line? I think that's what the member is asking.
Yes, now after that line, Chair, the next clause will start. The clause 53 of the bill starts, which is a new amendment. So it's what we want to do in the amendment bill. We want to insert that part from the A-list, that's sub 2. So okay. The way we write it is actually instructions to the printers to say, make a bill that looks exactly like this that we want to put before the House for voting. So that's how the...
So I think after this line 51, you will insert the following. Okay, let's go to Honorable Manu. Honorable Manu, I think we are on the same bus that goes to Eastern Cape now, or Joburg.
Chair, it is well. Let us progress. Thank you for your indulgence. With Advocate Jenkins, also appreciate it. Thank you
very much, Advocate.
Thank you very much. So we're doing, after that, I mean, we stopped a little bit, but we're changing the aerodrome to the aerodrone to aerodrome. That's just a textual correction, Chair. I'm not going to harp too much on that. Spelling correction. The next clause 13 of the bill, Chair, if we can go to clause 13 of the bill, it's on page 28. And then from line 17, Chair, to substitute the following paragraph. So we're adding certain sections there. Chair, I'm going to read through it because it's quite substantive. The charges, fees, and levies contemplated in subsection 1 or any amendment thereto must be published in the Gazette at least 4 months prior to their coming into operation. And in instances where a person who has collected any money, fee, charge, or levy on behalf of the Civil Aviation Authority is liquidated, placed under business rescue, or is placed under administration, the Civil Aviation Authority is entitled as a preferential creditor to recover any such money, fee, charge, or levy so collected by such person. That is the issue that the committee agreed upon, Chair, to make the Civil Aviation Authority a preferential creditor when it comes to insolvency proceedings, Chairperson. Chair, I can do clause 20 as well, unless we want to pause with that one, as it is quite substantial. I think clause 20, Chair, was also something that the committee has dealt with, and I was asked not to just do one at a time. So, Chair, if I may, I'll just go to there, and it's always including there is the qualifications of the person to act as a manager, chairperson, and we're saying it must be the same as the person that filled the position, the commissioner, chairperson, who must have the same qualifications as the person who was doing the job before the person who's acting came on board, chairperson. So that's just the wording we proposed there, chairperson. I can go on, Chair, to clause 21. That's on page 30 of the bill. And chairperson, that's just dealing with the performance agreement of the commissioner. That must be published on the website, sir. Remember, it was in the Government Gazette, firstly, Chair, and then by the deletion of subsection 6. Chair, I think, I'm not sure I'll take your directions, Chair, if I must pause there. Otherwise, we go to clause 28, Chairperson.
Advocate, I can see you are not sure.
It was substantive amendments, Chair. I don't know if the members want to say something about the wording we used.
No. We have said, and I'm on top of that game, that If members want to say something, they will raise their hand, otherwise members are happy. So let's forge ahead, advocate.
Okay, thank you, Chair. With clause 28, Chairperson, it's just textual, aerodrone. We're correcting to aerodrome. Clause 50, Chairperson, omit organization and to substitute with organization. It's preference. It's just, one can spell it either way, Chair, but that's what the department wanted there, Chair. Spelling correction on clause 51, Chair, addition, correcting that. I can actually add, Chair, I mean, we're doing it that way and it is probably correct, but those are the kind of spelling errors we usually correct as well when we publish acts from Parliament side, Chairperson, we correct those acts. That's called textual corrections. We don't need a committee process for that, Chairperson, but it's correctly included in the A-list now, then we know it is correct. Chairperson, clause 53 on page 40. To admit in respect of marshalling signals interception. So we're omitting that whole part, our Chairperson, dealing with our international obligations, how it fits in. And to then to substitute other parts, Chairperson. So clause 53, we're taking that out in respect of marshalling signals interception movers. And then Chairperson from there, we're going to go and I think, Chair, the reason for that has to do with the change of international obligations, or are we dealing with that, Chair? I'm actually just clutching around there, but we can go to clause 60, Chair. Chair, what we're doing with, we're putting the following paragraph, go down a little bit, please, so that members can see. We're inserting the following paragraph, the administrative steps which must precede the designation by the minister in accordance with the definition of a designated aerodrome, Chairperson, or any airport or heliport as designated aerodrome. So those are consequential, Chairperson. On page 44, the next point, point two or item two of clause 60, we substitute the following paragraph. Legal action that must be taken for any failure by any person to transmit to the Civil Aviation Authority as prescribed any money, fees, charges, or levies collected on behalf of the Civil Aviation Authority, Chairperson. So it's what we're doing there on, just see, 9/11, we just... page 44, 9/11 of the book. Thank you very much. Chairperson, those are functions and powers of the advisory committee, Chairperson. So they're dealing there with how they can make rules or advise the minister and so forth, Chairperson. So that's, we can go to clause 65, Chairperson. That's again, we're correcting the date of the act, when it will be promulgated, Chairperson. That's clause 65. And from there, we're going to the schedule, Chairperson. We've rejected the schedule. Those are the amendments to Act, Insolvency Act. Firstly, those are the creation of preferential status for the Civil Aviation Authority, and we're including that in the Insolvency Act. Air Service Licensing Act. We're making the following amendments. We're including the definition of commissioner. And then wherever we find director in the act, it will become a commissioner. The convention, the act bringing the Convention of International Recognition of Rights in Aircraft Act into operation, Chair, we're including there again, consensual, the commissioner rather than director. The same with the International Air Services Act, South African Civil Aviation Authority Levies Act, Chairperson, correcting the date of the act that we are amending now, Chairperson. Convention on International Interest in Mobile Equipment Act, Chairperson. Again, it's an act bringing into an operation an international agreement, just to make consequential amendments there, Chairperson. And that brings me to the end of the A-list, Chairperson.
Advocate, thank you.
I must say thank you to my colleagues in State Law Advisor as well. Sorry, Chairperson, I interrupt you. Thank you.
No, it's okay, Advocate. Valerie?
Chair Advocate Quetta is in the meeting if you have any questions for him. And just the other matter that we discussed, Chair, this morning, the need to meet again on Friday morning because the members are close to finalizing this bill. So I suggested to you this morning that the committee meet on Friday morning before plenary to report on this bill. So that it can now be finalized, Chair. So that meeting, Chair, as I suggested, could happen between 8:30 and 9:50. So in the meantime, Chair, we will prepare the B-bill so that members then can and the report on the bill for Friday morning. So that the bill is finalized.
We are moving from A to B now. A list, B now. What is coming is the B bill, as you are saying, Valerie.
Okay, what happens is we send the A list to the printers. They prepare a B list so that members have the A list as agreed to and the B bill in front of members for the final consideration and the reporting of the bill. So members will then see how those amendments of the A-list was inserted into the bill that was tabled in Parliament in 2018.
I hear you. However, the issue in front of us now is that are we available for Friday to deal with the B list and the B bill? Honorable Hunsinger.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm not available on Friday. It is really becoming complicated. We are beginning to go back to Parliament in a physical form, not a virtual form. Traveling time is something that should be considered. And as such, Chairperson, I have never before experienced that the Portfolio Committee deals with three bills simultaneously. I would seriously ask, Chairperson, your consideration that we put each of these on their own track rather than to overlap in such a way as what we're currently doing. It brings a lot of confusion within the equation, especially in the procedure and in the process. And I think it would be worthwhile if we could also just get an overview of the next steps, because I would assume that following the approval of a B-bill, as I suggest, rather in next week than to push it in this week, because we also have a transport-related debate on Friday, and preparation needs to be done for that. Chairperson, what I'm asking is that we also get an overview of the next steps following the approval of a B-bill whenever that happens, so that we're also aware of public participation and input based on the fact that we have now successfully developed to such a stage with this civil aviation bill. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, the first issue you are putting is that you may not be available on Friday.
Unfortunately, due to
prior commitments.
Yes, Chair.
And the second one, you are saying maybe it will help us if we get an overview of the next steps of the same civil aviation. The third one, you are proposing that let's rather do it next week. Am I capturing you correctly,
Thank you, Chairperson. And also that we deal with one bill at a time. We've already started with the feedback and the public participation process on the traffic bill, whereas we've now moved in parallel, in tandem, basically, you know, with the civil aviation as well as with the transport economic regulator bill, which I find unnecessary. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I want us to deal with the issues on the table step by step so that we don't get lost. Honorable members, what are other members saying? Ubaba Ulisa Kwamanqi.
Chair, thank you very much, Chair. My question would be, now that we are going towards the B list, how long does it take for it, now that we are agreeing that we are going to the B list? Because that will determine when it can be done. Therefore, I was going to say, why can't it be done earlier than Friday? Because I support the colleague's view on Friday, that let us keep Friday free. It's a debate, and members need to prepare. But when it happens, for me, it's a matter of how long will it take from now. I guess it goes to the printing and everything. But if we could be enlightened as to generally how long will it take. On the third issue, oh, you said you want us to deal with one issue at a time. All right, let me leave that one there. I wanted to deal with other bills at the same time, but I'll come back when you allow us to do that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Valerie?
Chair, that will take an hour and a half at most. What will happen is the members will have the A-list in front of it, the committee will have the A-list, the bill is introduced, and the B-bill. So the committee just has then to go through all the clauses and agree on it. And then after that, consider the report on the bill. The report on the bill, as I've indicated, it just says the committee agreed to the bill with amendments. It's basically three lines. And then after that, Chair, the report on the bill gets published in the A-list, which is the, yes, Chair, and the bill, yeah, the members basically go through the B version of the bill clause by clause. There's quite a few clauses. And then when the committee reports on the bill, the report gets published in the ATC, which will then be a sign for the House to start programming the bill for debate and for the NA to consider. But Chair, the issue is the B bill, as I've indicated to you earlier, that we're working remotely and we need, the support staff needs at least a day or so after the bill. We will send this to the printers today to give us a first draft, to look through it, to see that everything is covered. So I would suggest if you agree on a time earlier than Friday, that it must not be tomorrow.
Thank you very much. Honorables, can we do this, Honorable Hunsinger?
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the input from our secretary through you, Chairperson. In the same way, Chairperson, I really ask for your support on this. In the same way as what our support staff need, at least a day to go through everything. We didn't have that day. We received the information that we dealt with today, yesterday, which was a constituency day. And I spent the whole day where I should be, in my constituency. So last night, I really struggled to work through the different documents between my own notes, the A-list, as well as the original document. And really, I asked Chairperson, if we want to do proper and good legislation and write good acts, we need a bit more space in between. Otherwise, it would end up in the way as what many bills have ended up in, that it can't be implemented. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, honorable member. Leave us. Ubaba umabas. Go on, Canada.
Thanks, honorable chair. I request to be excused. There's another meeting that has just started. I need to join in.
Say good morning, chair, and goodbye.
Good morning, chair, and goodbye, and good morning, honorable members, and goodbye.
No, you are released. Leave us. Thank you very much for your commitment. Eh?
Thank you, honorable chair.
Thank you. Enjoy your meeting. That side.
Thanks.
Thank you. Honorable members, thank you. I think let's be reasonable. Let's deal with this thing early next week. Valerie?
Chair, my other suggestion to you was that the subcommittee meeting of next week does not happen and that we use that time Wednesday before the sitting of the House, so from 1 then till around 14:45 to deal with the bill.
Yeah.
But then, Chair, the ERT bill was originally scheduled for an evening session in the original program, but the committee suggested last week for a meeting with National Treasury.
Mm-hmm.
So why doesn't the committee then reconsider, if I may offer the solution, to then use next Thursday, 6 o'clock, to at least spend an hour or so on the ERT bill, because by that time, the civil aviation bill would have been finalized, and then the committee doesn't have that responsibility anymore. So there will be space for the ERT bill.
Okay, let's deal with this in a sequence. We're proposing Wednesday next week between, what is the time?
Between, I would say 1:15 and 2:45 for the civil aviation bill, Chair, and for Wednesday.
Okay. Members, can we try and accommodate that would have given everybody enough space to go and peruse? Are we happy? Let me see hands. Honorable Ramadwa.
Thank you, Chairperson. We are happy. I think we support that.
Thank you very much. Any seconder?
Honorable MacDonald seconds, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. As Honorable Ramadwa is lowering her hand. Honorable, thank you very much. So we'll then deal with the B list on Wednesday. Can we entertain? I can see Honorable Figile is here also. Good morning, member. Can we entertain the issue of the request, which I think it's a pretty straightforward issue that we then deal with the ERT bill. Bill number 1 of 2020, finalize it next week, Thursday. Can I get a supporter and a seconder there?
I support your proposal, Chairperson. Good morning.
Thank you very much, Honorable MacDonald. Any seconder?
I second.
Thank you very much, Watintaba Fazi. Happy belated
International Women's Day.
International
Women's
Day celebration.
Yeah.
International Women's Day celebration. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. to all the women of the world and this country. Thank you very much. Let's then deal with this issue, Honorable Manu, which you said I must give you an opportunity to deal with. I am there now. The overlapping of bills and so forth, and I think it's the last issue, which was raised by Honorable Honsinger. Babu Chambers.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I think that I hear what the colleague is saying. However, I don't know what the suggestion is. How best can we deal with it? Because I don't see us going through this again. I think we found ourselves here. But I don't know how else we could deal with it. Because it's not always easy, in my view, at least having gone through what we are going through now, to take one and run with it until the end. Maybe through you, Chair, we should hear the colleague's proposition. What is it that we can do better without just saying, no, we can just continue running? I think that was my view there, that it is hectic, it is taxing, but how else could we do it when we've got a lot of bills in front of us at the same time, or even new legislation? Thank you, Chair.
I'm also just checking, didn't we deal with the pipeline of bills that are coming our way? Maybe that will also help us, Honorable McDonald.
It's cold where you are, Chair, while you are checking.
Chairperson, thank you very much.
Frozen on my...
Okay, I can be heard by everybody, I'm sure. Honorable McDonald, can you hear me?
I can hear you clear, Chairperson.
Yeah, thank you very much.
I think it's Honorable Jamdas. He's got a issue there, but let's just leave it there, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think the issue that this committee has run into is partially because of the specific year, that it was very condensed, because we've got long constituency periods and shorter workspace because of an election year. It was designed like that, Chairperson. And I think that because in our endeavor to do something properly and to do something right for this committee, we have spent, the work has sort of caught up with us, and that has left us with three bills that we are now interchanging every day, and have a lot of reading work. But it is what it is, Chairperson, and we have to just accept that we are not just a normal committee. We are a hard-working committee, and I think we must just force and forge ahead and finish what the work that we've got and just do our work, Chairperson. And if it means that we have to work late at night, so be it, Chairperson. This committee can never be said that we don't work hard and that we are useless, Chairperson. We are not one of those committees, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Okay. I think this committee must also be cautioned that our program is really full. The honorable members are correct. Sometimes when we are in a portfolio committee meeting, we take decisions that are actually adding to the already full program.
It's 10 hours.
So I think as we move, Honorable Hansinger is throwing a caution on the air, which is true. We are very congested. I was thinking the other day that yes, we are dealing with, we are a committee that deals with legislation. I think it's correct. Honorable members, can we step off this item by really saying, despite all the difficulties, we have done well on this bill specifically. Let's be positive as we are moving towards the end. We want to thank all the people, officials, honorable members, who really participated on this bill. We did a good job. You also did a good job, honorable members. We will then deal with the B list, the B bill, next week. Can we then move over to the deliberations on the Economic Regulation of Transport Bill number 1 of 2020? There's not much today that we are going to deal with because the A list is not ready, but we're supposed to polish some minor issues. And I think let's take that opportunity to just certify ourselves that everything that needed to be polished is actually polished, as we did not finish nicely with this bill. Advocate Almanel.
Chairperson, yes, the committee will need to get the feedback from the issues that were raised and that the department had to give clarity on. So it includes some of those clauses that the committee needed clarity, and then specific clarity that was requested when we dealt with the transitional arrangements and the concerns, especially also that members had. That our transitional arrangements in the schedules really focused on the ports regulator, but then what will happen if we bring in AT&S, AXA, NLTA, and SANRAL's amendments as with specific reference to the appeals clause that members dealt with last week, Chair. So I think if the department can provide the clarity to those issues that were raised, then members can, we can also be sure that that is included in the A-list, Chair.
Department of Furtig, as a correct, Mense.
You're the more verkeerd.
Nee, by a fair, Van Rest, by a fair.
Dis nog steeds transport, voorsitter.
Nee, dis vervoer, honorable McDonald.
Jy is 100% reg, honorable Manu.
Okay, but I can see we are still together and the Africans is here with us. The department van die vervoer. Ek het nog nooit nie per meneer Mueketsi Sekudo Gesin of Advocate Masombuga. As the year the two men summit ons,
good morning, honorable chair. I hear your voice, but I can't understand what you ask from me. May I request that a different language is used for me, Chair. But I heard the last part wherein you were saying, are we here, myself and advocate, but the rest, I lost it, Chair. But yeah, I'll be guided by yourself. Good morning, Honorable Chair, and good morning, Honorable members and colleagues. So we are here at the department. I think we heard Advocate Nell as to where we should begin. If maybe I recap a bit as to what really the issue there is and what was resolved by the committee itself. The issue on a broader scale of things is that the transitional mechanism that is captured under Schedule 2 and the consequential amendments that, sorry, not Chapter 2, Schedule 2, the transitional mechanism or provisions under Schedule 2 and a consequential amendment under Schedule 1 when not talking to other regulators which are anticipated to be incorporated under the Single Transport Economic Regulator. And with that high-level viewpoint, there was specific indication of saying, we don't have a cross-border road transport agency here. And thus, it could have been an oversight. And as a view of the portfolio committee, we would want to see institutions such as the cross-border road transport agency included in the transition mechanism, as well as others, which would be the National Public Transport Regulator, which will be the Licensing Council, which will be those institutions to be incorporated, Chair. If I have represented the committee well, I can respond to it, Chair. And remember, when we discussed this matter, Advocate Masombuka wasn't part of the meeting, but we then reflected in the Department of Transport on the very same matter, and then decided that we would give guidance to the portfolio committee as to how the department feels about the issue that was raised by the portfolio committee. Am I in the right direction, Chair?
Okay, it's, you are in the right direction.
Thank you so much, Chair. Chair, I think piggybacking from the response I gave on the 2nd of March, some of which I will repeat, Chair, but I would start to indicate to yourself, Chair, that the legal or legislation drafters of us are well-credible people. They've drafted many acts for South Africa, such as the Labor Relations Act, Competition Commission Act, the Consumer Act, the International Trade Commission Act, the National Gambling Act, and so forth. I'm raising this point, supported by a local person who used to work for the Department of Justice. I'm raising this issue specifically to provide information to the committee that the advice that the legal advice that we got from the legal expert and shaped the way the bill is positioned now, Chair, was from the experts. So therefore, the position that we have, the way the bill is shaped, was a well thought through process and was indeed moving towards us articulating matters per phase, Chair. So we would want to stick to that position, Chair, of saying the position adopted by the bill, it's a phased approach. It cascades the workload, Chair. It ensures that the economic regulator that would be operational on effective date is not loaded with a lot of work. Reiterating again, the focus of phase one was in the main on the content of economic regulation, was in relation to price determination, or you call it price control, or you call it tariff determination, and was in the main of creating an environment and a regime for appeals and reviews to be taken to a council, which would be an ombudsman, which would be a quasi-tribunal. Then on an institutional arrangement point of view, there are three areas that we're focusing on. One relates to the fact that we use the ports regulator as a nucleus. Secondly, we then incorporate the regulating committee, because all of these two institutions, their primary functions are on price determination. Then we then introduce economic regulation in the rail space. That's a mouthful. That's quite a lot for a new institution to manage at the beginning. So that is a rationale that shaped this bill. But there are also good reasons why we had to approach it that way. For example, with regard to the licensing regime that is not captured across the board, whether you're in aviation, maritime, or public transport, it's the fact that the licensing regime is a specific regime that requires its own articulation. And given the fact that there are many institutions within the transport sector that we are trying to consolidate, we then park that matter because it's big on its own. And secondly, on specifically on the cross-border road transport agency, there was a question that was specifically asked as to, you have decided to take one clause of the National Public Transport Regulator that relates to fees determination or tariff determination. Why didn't we do the same with the cross-border road transport agency? The answer is simple, Chair.
Mr. Miyeketsi Sikudo, the answer is not that simple as we can't hear you. Can we look for Mr. Miyeketsi Sikudo and find him and bring him back to the meeting? Advocate Masombuka.
Morning, sir, and honorable members. I'm checking what's happening to Mokesi. I'm calling him.
If you don't find him, you shall have to continue where he left, sir.
Can anyone hear me? I don't seem to hear Honorable Chair, but he seems to be talking.
No. I was just saying, come back to the meeting. We can hear you now, sir. Let them make it.
I suffered the same earlier, that them make it. I could not hear anybody. What I did was to go out of the meeting and go back again. But still, I'm sure you can't hear me even with that suggestion.
Yes, I can hear you now. Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Honorable Chair, I can't hear you.
Are other honorable members hearing me?
Yes, Chair, can hear you.
Loud and clear, Chair.
Honorable Mangu, yes. I could hear you a bit. Maybe let me open my phone as you speak. I can hear you there.
Okay, Honorable Mangu, do tell Mr. Miyeketsi Sikudo, I am listening to him. He must continue.
Okay. That's a good
Chair, can you hear me? You.
Yes, he says he can hear you, so do continue. If you can hear me, everybody else can hear you. Please do continue.
Okay.
Yes, you can continue.
Good morning, honorable members. Honorable Chair.
Yes, we are listening to you, sir.
Oh, okay. I see there's a note that says the members can hear me. Can I proceed?
Yes, you can proceed.
Thank you so much, Chair. I can see your head nodding. Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the motivation provided on the 2nd of March, I was reiterating that part. Now, coming to the serious implications of a suggestion to amend or incorporate clauses that includes the CBRTA on Schedule 1, on Schedule 2. When we reflected on the matter from the department's point of view, the rewriting or the inclusion of clauses reflecting the other institution will definitely mean there would be significant rewriting of the bill, because the focus will not be squarely on Schedule 1 and 2 only. It would have to be on the body of the bill as well, because there should be alignment flowing from the body of the bill towards the Schedule 1 and Schedule 2. Okay. So that would then mean the bill itself would change tremendously or significantly. When we did the regulatory impact assessment, the business case, the options analysis, Chair and honorable members, it was on the basis of moving towards phase one that I have just elaborated on. So rewriting the bill would then require significant consultation again, which I'm not quite sure if members would want to go to that direction, because from where we sit, we are so comfortable with the approach in such a way that we can get the institution running with what we have, obviously with certain changes that relates to the clauses that have been discussed already. Set up the institution, get it going, because it's an institution and a program that is needed by South Africa, basically, the Operation Vulindlela, the reconstruction of the economy and so forth, Chair. So there are good reasons enough, Chair, to proceed with the bill the way it is, which is what the department is motivating for. And we think, given the fact that it's the first of its kind for the transport sector, we will try, yes, indeed, to perfect it, but we can't have it perfect because certain nuances and certain issues will come up as and when we implement the bill itself. So we would like to implore the committee to reconsider the view of rewriting the bill. Maybe, I mean, I'm not using a strong word, but of including clauses that would then incorporate those other anticipated institutions. Because it's not so much only about including clauses for Schedule 2 and including clauses for Schedule 1. No, it's not as easy as that, Chair. You know, so Chair, we're just requesting reconsideration of the committee to say we don't have it in another transport sector. But the other thing we looked at as well is the international benchmarking exercise, which basically positioned us to the direction that we have now, Chair, where even their bills, we looked at four countries, Netherlands, Canada, we looked at Rwanda, and then we looked at Sweden. So those were the four countries that we looked at, Chair, the way they shaped their bill and so forth. Obviously, we can't take everything that is there and bring it to South Africa. We think what we have now, Chair, we are comfortable with it, Chair. Obviously, we'll be advised by the committee as to what we should do, but we thought it would be best to give the committee the rationale to try and compel the committee to adopt, obviously with certain changes, the bill with this approach. And then as and when we proceed, we can then include other areas. One of the critical things that we could do as well, which I think in the bill, it talks about independent review of the regulator in 5 years. What we could do, we could say review the regulator in 2 years. That would then give us an opportunity to say, where are we with this new institution that we have started 2 years ago? Which areas we must then consider including? Because we could have areas which we may want to exclude. I think at the strong point of it, Chair, particularly on the cross-border road transport agents. It's one, if you take one clause which may affect inter-Africa trade, if you take it, if you take the cross-border road transport agent, it's not similar to the port regulator itself, where you take everything and you put it under there. There are certain parts of the cross-border road transport agency that you need to take, which relates to economic regulation. I think just to sum it up, Chair, for you, Chair, we as the department, we are comfortable about the approach. We would like to request the committee to reconsider the position that was taken in our last meeting, Chair. And we would want to indicate that the bill that was publicized by the department in 2018 February and 2018 October was without these other institutions, was basically positioned the way it was. The bill that has been published by the portfolio committee as well was never talking about the other institution, including the cross-border road transport agency. By its distance looking at it, Chair, the way I'm presenting this case, it definitely says that if we do change the bill, then it means something else must happen, which I don't want to say much on that one. But yeah, Chair, I think I will stop there. Maybe request Advocate Matombuge to add one or two points, and Raksha from the Office of the State Law Advisor to raise one or two points, if they may, Chair. Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you. And the Mwekezi Sikudo. Advocate Matombuge.
Chairperson, I confirm the position of the department as articulated by Mr. Mwekezi. And also the fact that if we are to include other provisions or clauses of other provisions of the Cross-Border Act and other regulators, that will be a mammoth task which will warrant that, in fact, like starting from the scratch, because we'll have to go back and do consultations, because that will be substantial amendments. So it was not like a mistake that CBRT has been excluded from this particular bill. The bill that was published was published as such, with an understanding very well that cross-border will be the following regulators that might be included into this particular bill. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Advocate. I just want to remind the department that when the committee wanted a clarity on this matter, the department was not ready to give clarity. It's not like the committee was firm on including other entities here. The committee had asked the view of the department, and I think that now that the department has given that view, let's hear members, so that we can close this issue. I am looking at the members who wants to say something. If we are happy, we are happy. Just indicate as such, honorable members. Ubaba Umangi, Uchambas Alandelwe, Ubaba U McDonald.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you to the department for the explanation, which I find very, very curious and very, very interesting. Firstly, because Dademwegezi tells us of the credentials of the people who drafted legislation. And I don't think they were ever under any question as to the credentials and the thought process that went through. Safe to say, it might suggest that the credentials of the people asking the questions in the form of the committee are suspect. That is a curious part of it. Secondly, it makes it very difficult to follow the response of the department without any form of presentation or write-up that could assist to say, this is what the committee raised, this is our view. Thirdly, the issue of the cross-border is not something we just raised out of nowhere. the department in its submission of demonstrating the savings or economic viability, for lack of a better word, amongst other things, identified the budget of the CBRTA. So why then did they identify that budget if CBRTA was never a consideration? And I might not recall now very well whether they identified it in phase one, phase two, or phase three. But whatever it is, if it was never under consideration, I don't understand why that would have been raised in the first place. So I find the response very, very strange. I find the response very, very interesting. In fact, it raises quite a lot of questions, and there are a lot of loaded statements in what has been said by the department. And therefore, I will find it difficult to accept them in the absence of a proper write-up that explains the things we raised. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, colleagues. The officials from the department. I want to echo what the Honourable Manju said, that the way that this presentation was done was sort of a reflection or intent of a reflection on some of the members in this portfolio committee, and I'm not very happy about it. But it is what it is, Chairperson, it has happened. I'm echoing what Honorable Manzo said. When this bill was brought to us, it said to us that we are spending too much money on economic regulation. And these entities are the ones, and the CBRTA, as an example, was one of them. Secondly, this bill says clearly it has to establish a single transport, establish a transport economic regulator, a single one. Then if this one is not going to be a single transport economic regulator, there is just going to be another economic regulator. Then, I mean, then the whole purpose of the bill is then, I don't understand, Chairperson. And also, they had an opportunity since last week to do a proper presentation for us. Then they come here with a whole lot of hot air and explains to us without any credible evidence on what they are saying, Chairperson. Chairperson, we will not be treated like that. And it's time that the department takes us serious. When they want to make a submission, they must prepare, they must give us ample time to read these things and submit them to the portfolio committee so that we can read these things, Chairperson. I thank you, Chairperson.
Well, honorable members, let's not dwell much on the presentation of the department and the tone of the presentation. I think you are right, it is not helping us. At all. The only issue I am getting there, which could have just been an issue raised by the department, is that CBRTA will be covered somewhere, we should not include it, and these other entities that they are saying, because I think that that was a clear question by the portfolio committee. So that we move forward, we are not held back by the tone of the meeting and how the department is now presented, because that's not what we want to do as the committee. So I'm going to request professionally and nicely to and humbly to the members that let's not deal with the attitude, the way the department has presented themselves. Let's deal with the issues as we normally do. Can we alienate CBRTA as we moving forward? Maybe I should say to Advocate Almanel, Advocate Iria, I can see your hand. I'll come back to you, Honorable Member. Advocate Almanel.
Yes, sir.
You still remember that clause that made the department to say we should give them time to reflect, where we were including a certain entity?
Yes, Chairperson, I'm just going to pull up my last notes we did with them. But Chair, I think while I'm pulling up my notes, at least if they can assist Honorable Manku with his question on that was still in the schedule, on whether or not the Ports Regulator employees are employed under the Public Service Act and whether or not they are linked to that specific bargaining council that's referred to in the schedule. And then I will, if they answer that one, I'll try and pull the other clauses that they needed to provide clarity on, Chair.
Okay, sure. Advocate Mazombuga, would you help us with this one?
People who are seconded. Chairperson, I'm not following very well because I was not in the previous meetings. I don't have a background to that particular question. But when
Okay, Advocate. You must pardon me because I really wanted to say this to you. I'm sure you fed positively well. We were told that you were going to the interviews. We wish you all the best. Emerging from that interview, I think we need to say that to you as human beings. Are you leaving the department in this case?
Chairperson, I was conducting interviews in the department. I was not a candidate for the interviews. Thanks.
Okay. So we got it wrong. Are you leading the department now?
Chairperson, as I'm saying, I was conducting interviews. I'm not leaving the department.
No, I'm saying, are you leading? Are you the head of the officials in this meeting?
Yes, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. You can give the question, you can hand over to Ndatemeketsi to help us on this specific question.
Thank you. Through your chair, over to you, Mr. Moketsi.
Thank you, Advocate, and thank you, Honorable Chair. That specific question, it's found on page 41, and you will find it under clause that relates to the transition of the ports regulator, which is clause 6.2. Because there were reference made to the Labor Relations Act, and there was also a reference made to any collective agreement reached between the state and the trade union parties of the Department Chamber of Public Service Bargaining Council before the effective date. Chair, we went and had a discussion with the port regulator. We were informed that the port regulator, together with other state-owned entities, are not governed through the Public Service Act. It's only government employees that are governed through that act.
the Labor Relations Act, Chair, it's with respect to all the employees. That includes government employees as well as private sector employees with regard to other conditions of the employees, Chair. Then with regard to 6.2, Chair, it is not clear on the basis of that answer as to whether the Public Service Act would be considered there. But what I understand that clause says, Chair, is that any collective agreement that would be reached between government and trade union parties through the council before effective date. But when you read that 6.2, starting from 6.1, any person is an employee of the port regulator before the effective date becomes an employee of the regulator on the effective date. And then you then say, clause 2, the transfer of employees to the regulator must be effected according to 1, the Labor Relations Act, which does not include the Public Service Act, and 2, any agreement that would be reached between the state and the trade union through the bargaining council process. So that's how we understand it, Chair. But the simple answer is that the Public Service Act does not apply to the port regulator as well as other state-owned entities. One more point, Chair. There was a question around the presentation, Chair. We've got a 12-page document, Chair, which we can share with the committee that responds and gives reasons as to why the CBRGA and PTR are excluded from the bill. Maybe we can share it post the session today, or we can beam it and take you through on that one. But we have a 12-page document that has been prepared, Chair. I request pardon if I did not put it up on the table, as I thought maybe verbal oral presentation would be okay. But yeah, we have prepared ourselves well, Chair, for this clarification. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Mekezi. Advocate Almanel.
Chair, yes, the other clauses that we picked up, members indicated in the meeting on the 5th that there was questions on clause 21, 23, some questions on the application of the NLTA, but I think that was the NLTA question may have been addressed. Just to inform members, we did send an email through as well. The ACSA and the ATNS amendment bills are now acts. They have been signed into law by the president. We're still waiting for the NLTA to hear about that amendment bill. And then we have dealt with the authority to issue regulations question. Chair, the other two clauses that I had in my notes was clarity on clause 67 and 69.
Okay. And Advocate Masombuga.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'll hand over to Mr. Mwokezi to respond.
And
thank you, Chair, and thank you, Advocate. If through you, Valerie, can I share a screen here to respond to those clauses to give clarification from our side?
As let me take a hand from that gentleman.
Chair, thank you for your indulgence. I think, Chair, this is not fair. We can't be digging for information or begging for information. We ask questions. We expect, if we have prepared as a department, that either we beam the presentation up front. Now, why must it be beamed after we query the response in the first place, if there was something? Chair, I don't think we are being assisted here. We still have to go back to Advocate Nell and ask her to go through what were the issues. Chair, it can't be correct. I don't agree, Chair. I don't agree. I don't normally use that word, but I really don't agree. The department has got response, which we appreciate. Can we be given that response so that we can be able to go through them and respond? And on each and every one of them, it would be nice if we could have, I'll give you an example of the one I raised on the public service bargaining and so forth. I hear the response of Ndademo Ikezi, but what are the implications to what I was raising it in that context, and what is the department? Maybe the document does that. So we are working in speculation and we are digging for information. I don't think it is fair, Chair, and I don't think it has happened before. We are always given the responses up front. We accept them or not. I accept that maybe the tone is not what is important, as you have said, but even the facts, we have to beg for facts. No, Chair, I don't agree with this approach, but I'm in your hands. Thank you.
Babu Chambers. Ngiyakuzwa Babu Chambers. Honorable Ansinga.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I concur with my colleague Lisa Mangu, Honorable Lisa Mangu. Furthermore, Chairperson, I don't think we can just simply step away from something which I thought was one of the most encouraging things in terms of the design and framework of this economic regulator, the fact that ports would be included and CBRTA would be included. Those are two major elements within the thinking and the new direction. And Chairperson, I think we seriously need to reconsider the aspects that hinder the inclusion of these two entities. The ports regulator as such would have been the first entity to be used on a introductory phase, simply because everything was framed and built around that entity. So Chairperson, I don't think we can just simply step off this. I think it's something that needs to be considered thoroughly with ways and means of how to include and mitigate towards inclusion rather than to just leave it. We can't approve a shell with an attempt to get a single economic regulator and then have others not being part of that. It can't be that we work like that, Chairperson. And again, I say, and I don't want to repeat what my colleague said, but I fully concur with the view of Honorable Mangu as he expressed.
Honorable McDonald.
Thank you, Chairperson. As I had my hand up earlier, Chairperson, I'm 100%, I was going to raise exactly the same point as what Honorable Manju has raised. I think had the department sent us timelessly the documents for us to go through it, it would have been much easier for us to understand the point of view or the point that the department was trying to make. But this committee has already made a decision, Chairperson. And this we can't just make after we've made the decision and now we are being asked to change our decision without credible evidence, Chairperson. I mean, we have made a decision, a proper decision on what we as the committee would like to see in this bill. We agreed here. And now the department wants us to go back on our decision, but they don't want to give us the documentation. They want to, on the 11th hour, want to show us a presentation. No, Chairperson. I'm not in agreement with what they are doing, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Ms. Hari Charan.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to the committee. Chair, with regard to, I've taken into account what the committee members have said regarding the cross-border road transport act, Chair. I'd just like to build upon what the department has said, Mr. Sekudo, regarding this act and the proposals from the committee. Chair, we'd just like to restate that the proposed amendments being spoken of here are substantive amendments to the bill. And also just to mention that this act, the proposed amendments to Cross-Border Road Transport Act were not included in the introduced version of the bill, which was passed by Cabinet, and the proposed amendments to possible proposed amendments to Cross-Border Road Transport Act was also not included in the versions of the bill which were submitted for public comment and public hearings were held on, and it was actually not part of this process thus far. And it is a substantive proposed amendment which has implications, Chair, and of course it was not passed with introduced version of the bill approved by Cabinet. But we are in the hands of the committee, Chair. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Honorable members, can we remind each other? In terms of what decision we had already taken. The issue we are dealing with here of the inclusion of the CBRTA and other entities. An issue, if I can remember, why we came to that point. And this is what I thought Advocate Almanel will help us with. Advocate Almanel?
Yes, Chair.
What made us to get to the point of talking about these other entities?
Chair, the concern that was raised by members when it came to the CBRTA inclusion was when we looked at both Schedule 1 and 2. Chair, Schedule 1 made reference to the ports regulator as well as the ATNS, AXA, SANRAL, and the National Land Transport Act, and how the regulator would then, in this format of the bill, work towards taking on those functions. With those clauses that they indicated in the schedules, it is clear that we can see that the majority of the port regulator functions will be taken over. As the department has indicated, it's going to be the nucleus or the fire starter, as I would like to refer to it, to bring life to staff. But Chair, members then indicated when we got to the appeals section in Schedule 2 that that really only spoke to how the process of appeals would be handled if it was before the port regulator. It did not also link up with any appeals or contestation of regulated pricing or fares that one can pull back to AXA or ATNS or the National Transport Regulator.
Can we beam that one, Advocate, so that we get where we are?
Yes, Chair, just a second. Okay, Chair, I just not to get here. So Chair, we'll see here. Here we have the Schedule 1 was the amendment of the National Ports Act, which mainly speaks to the ports regulator. Then we have the Airports Company Act amendments specific to the Airports Company Act, the AT&S amendments specific to that act, and Chair, we'll see here that it was also in terms of this one, if we look at the complaints to AT&S, how that would be handled when we link it now back later to Schedule 2. Then we also see the changes to the NLTA and then the SunRail Act. Then Chair, the big concern came in here on Schedule 2 appeals and complaints. Because JC's here, members noted there that this really does only take the powers of the appeals bodies that were vested under the port regulator to now move it to the single economic regulator. But it does not also, in terms of this one, speak to what would happen for complaints in AT&S. So that is where the concerns came in, Chair, because Schedule 2 really just says transitional provisions. It doesn't here also say transitional provisions specific only to the ports regulator, which might have clarified the concerns, I think, based on the department's view that this one really is to be to have the focus on the ports regulator. Chair, but then members proposed and they raised the points that as one can have in a bill, you can have sections or clauses that are enacted upon specific dates that will not necessarily come in on the date of signature by the president. So members asked then, if the presentation that the department did on how this bill will provide financial benefits, or what would be the reasons to take on this bill? How will we help? The biggest budget item in that presentation that the department did, Chair, was on CBRTA. So Ms. Noluchungo then also said, if CBRTA is then the one where you make the most cost saving, but you only have it in phase three, that is a concern that one must look at. If you are saying this bill is going to be cost saving, but your cost saving is really only going to come in phase three. That was a debate that the members had with the department when they had the financial impact presentation. And I think, Chair, that discussion flowed through to when members came, especially to these clauses, and then saw that, look, it really does look that we only in the main focusing on the ports regulator, but can we not have clauses in that speak to the CBRTA and how that would later on be incorporated in the bill or enacted, even if it's on a later date? So Chair, that is, I just do want to point out that if we are going to bring in additional clauses on the CBRTA, the department did indicate at the bottom, if I go to the memo, obviously they did consult with the CBRTA on introducing the bill and what it would mean in the long run to the CBRTA. But Chair, on the specific provisions coming into place with this bill, there is most likely a need to have further consultations, even if it's a staggered approach. But it does then, as the state law advisor indicated, it does bring in substantial amendments to the bill that need to be incorporated and additional clauses that must come in. So one must really weigh up whether or not the committee would be adamant on making substantial changes now, because that would need further consultations, further publication, further call for submissions. It would also require another approval by the National Assembly, or whether or not members would seek the route that the department indicated, that as we implement phase one and we see some further aspects that must be changed, let us then bring an amendment later on. And that was also what the department indicated in the discussions, that prior to phase two, there will obviously be amendments to this bill to fix the elements that weren't correct in phase one. And then obviously also before phase three, there would definitely be those substantial inclusions in terms of an amendment bill that would then work in the CBRTA and any other regulator that must still come in towards the end chair. So I think it's really important for members to consider the impact that a possible substantial amendment would have versus future work on the bill. I know members want to have an all-encompassing bill that could cover everything, but we can't always cover everything that's going to come into the future, Chair. And we are also still waiting on some of these aspects. Let me just go to the NLTA. For example, the Section 21, Chair, until we know when the President enacts and signs into law the NLTA amendment bill that is on his desk, until that one is signed in, even this Section 21 won't be able to come into force. But that might be done when the NCOP also considers this bill, Chair. I don't know if I've added to the fire there, Chair, or if I have helped members to get some clarity, Chair.
Advocate Almanel, it's okay. Let's do this so that we are being fair to all the members. Let's in the meantime get their responses. I'm sure Advocate Masombuga, it is very possible for us to have those responses that Ndatemeketsi is having emailed to us. Am I correct?
Yes, it's possible, Shepherdson.
Okay.
To email me through?
Yes, please. Do consider doing that, as that will help us. Honorable Manu?
Chair, thank you very much, in particular to Advocate Nell for that refresher. I wanted to request if she could beam through you, Chair, that clause that was referring to the public service that was responded to earlier, so that colleagues can have a view of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say, Chair, as it is being beamed, the issue of cross-border road transport never appeared on the last meeting. And I hear what the colleague from the state law advisors is saying and pleading, but this thing never came back. And all these colleagues and legal minds were in this meeting. And nobody raised all these big substantial issues all of a sudden that are raised now. The question is, why were they not raised earlier? And the answer I gave you quite at the beginning, that in my view, there is an undermining of the capacity of this committee to think and to process. Because this bill has been processed by people who are experienced, therefore just accept it. Because the facts that they are presenting today didn't rock up between last week and today. They were all there. But let us put it bluntly, because we have been undermined, they thought, no, they will forget. We will just tell them this. And I take serious exception to that. I mean, we need Advocate Nell, who is a support to us, to bring these things. What was difficult to all these people to bring it? Chair, this borders on undermining our capacity. That is what it is. Let's call it what it is. Now, You are scratching your head, Chair, so much because you are trying to make this thing work. It is not your job to make it work. It is for them to give us the faith. We are not hard and fast. We want the bill to go through. We want the economic regulator to start. Maybe let us put that very clear. But we are not going to rubber stamp. If anybody here is used to people who are rubber stamping, it's not us. Or at least let me be particular, it's not me. We are going to ask the questions, whether they are difficult or not, and we expect answers. We are not rigid that we are not going to change what we thought. Whatever decision we took it because this information was not forthcoming. Where was this information all the time? All of a sudden, there are a lot of brilliant responses coming. Where were they? Why didn't they answer them from the first day? Chair, if I may go here as I finish, the issue I had raised here, thank you very much, Advocate, was that any collective agreement reached, we are talking about the transition, Section 197, which is okay, any collective agreement reached between the state should, would continue or will be effective. Now, I'm raising it again, re-emphasizing, because this is what I had raised to say. Now that we know that they are not part of the Public Service Bargaining Council, let us hear what is the proposal of the department or the legal minds to deal with that. Chairperson, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Baba Umanu. Let's get the legal minds on this issue. Let me just check. Is Mr. Quetta with us here?
Yeah, Mr. Quetta is not working on this bill. He is working on the civil aviation bill and the NASH and the road traffic bill.
Oh, he's gone. Let's start with Mayor Karen.
Please, Valerie, through you, Chair, let's organize a meeting with that gentleman and Chair. He really wants to hear his voice. Please. Thank you.
Mr. Quetta was in the meeting this morning, Chair. I've alerted you via the...
Oh, okay, okay. Can we drink water, please? I have mine here. Thank you very much. Mayor Karen? You have something to say? Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Sorry, Chair. Thank you, Chair. Chair, I just like to draw attention to the role of the National Assembly, Chair. Specifically Rule 286, Subsection 4, Subsection B, which states that the committee must A, if I may read from the rules of the National Assembly, Chair, the committee, Subsection 4, A states the committee must inquire into the subject of the bill and report on it to the Assembly. Subsection B may seek the permission of the Assembly to inquire into extending the subject of the bill. And C, Subsection C, if the bill amends provisions of legislation, must, if it intends to propose amendments to other provisions of that legislation, seek the permission of the Assembly to do so. So, Chair, it is our humble viewpoint on this matter, Chair, that should the Parliamentary Committee decide to expand the subject of the bill, to expand the subject of the bill to include the Cross-Border Road Traffic Act, they may seek the permission of the Assembly to inquire into extending the subject of the bill, Chair. Thank you, Chair. That's our submission.
May Hari Chairman, you may have missed my question with all humility.
Yes, please, if you may repeat the question.
Yeah. Advocate Almanel will assist me on this one. The question which was asked is, any collective agreement reached between the state and the trade union, parties of the department, departmental chamber of the Public Service Bargaining Council, before the effective date. Now, we know now that other entities are not part of this setup. How are they going to be dealt with? That was the question I wanted to be assisted with. That question was humbly asked by Honorable Mang.
Thank you, Chair.
Yes.
Thank you, Chair, for the clarity. Chair, if I just may be given 2 minutes to check something in the bill, Chair, if I can may come back to the committee, please.
Thank you very much. I accept that wholeheartedly. Advocate Almanel.
Chair, I'm just going to put it up again. I think what is important for the department to clarify, because this will really have to come from the department. Other than staff that are seconded to the regulator or to the council, that is government employees, Chair, I think we may have to relook at this Schedule 2, Item 6, and really look at the need to reference the Public Service Act. We do know that some staff that might be at the port regulator, and this was the question to the department, is to find out from the port regulator whether their staff falls under the Public Service Act, whether their staff is a party to the departmental chamber of the Public Service Bargaining Council. And also then where it comes to the government employees pension law, do they have staff that is linked to GEPF? Because if they don't, Chair, then the question really is, do we need these clauses that speak to the Public Service Bargaining Council as well as the GEPF? I think if I understood Mr. Manku's question properly, that is what I would pose we need clarity on, especially for this clause, Chair. Now that the department has indicated that the entities are not under the Public Service Act, or the employees are not under the Public Service Act, the question is really, do we then need these references? And if they can clarify that, Chair, then I think the question can be moved on from.
That is correct. Advocate Masombuga, I think you are very clear with that. Oh, before we go to advocate, let's go to attorney. The attorney, Mayor Raksha Haricheri.
Thank you, Chair. With regards to the query coming from Advocate Alma now with regards to the Public Service Act, I think the department has addressed that point earlier this morning. And we'd also, if it assists the committee, they can elaborate on the answer regarding the Public Service Act. But they did indicate it applies to employees who fall under the port regulator as it stands at the moment. They're making provision for transitional arrangements once the economic regulator comes into effect. And with regards to the previous question regarding the agreements in place, Chair, we did, I think we had discussed this point previously in our meeting on the 5th of March to refer the committee to item 3.3, subsection 3 of Schedule 2, the transitional provisions, which provides that the regulator might exercise any power of the ports regulator in terms of the National Ports Act to investigate any complaint in terms of the relevant act concerning conduct that occurred during a period of 3 years immediately before the effective date. But if the department may elaborate on these points, I think that would be good. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, ma'am. Advocate Masombu.
Thanks, Chairperson. Can I give it to Mogezi, please?
Yes. That is Mogezi.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think in our last when this matter was raised, it was purely...
You You can beam that thing if you still have it.
That one, the beaming chair does not talk to the Public Service Act. It talks to other clauses which Advocate Nell raised.
Okay.
But specifically, the question that was raised, the way I understood it from the last meeting, was that we need to find out whether the employees of the port regulator are governed through the Public Service Act.
Yes.
Which is what we then sought to ask. And specifically, I spoke to the CEO of the port regulator and the previous CEO of the port regulator. Mm-hmm. And it was clearly made to myself that they are not governed through the Public Service Act. The port regulator and other state-owned entities are not government employees, Chair. That's as far as the question I understood it and sought clarification, Chair. But I can hear clearly from Advocate Nell that there's the second layer of the question that we need to answer, given the response that we have had now of saying they are not governed by the Services Act. So the question now is, one, do they basically fall under the GEPF? Yes or no? The answer would then dictate whatever answer we get from there. And then secondly, the issue of other clauses that talk to government employees, because I was trying to think from my head now, Chair, as to what would have been the rationale of including these clauses, Chair. But I'm seeing something here, Chair. Maybe I'll reflect on it. There's a word, Public Service Act, there as I'm talking to you, but I'll come back to it now, Chair. I was thinking from the viewpoint of the council, Chair, mm-hmm. where the council will have part-time members, if you remember, part-time body, which will then would be built up or supported by administrative staff, which would then have to be provided by the minister. Would that not cover such employees, like, for example, Mweke, the alien, and somebody else could say, the minister could say, go and support the council. And myself and alien and others in the department, we are governed through the Public Service Act, Chair. Was not that covering them in terms of the GEP, us in terms of the GEPF and others, Chair? It's something that we need to reflect, Chair. Firstly, by getting clarification from the port regulator on the second layer of the questions, that is the GEPF and so forth, Chair, and how their pensions are governed, Chair. Then secondly, we then take a decision as to whether we need to have these clauses or not, Chair. That's how I understand it. But the first part that I get at clarification, Chair, from where I was sitting was, do the employees of the port regulator governed by the Public Service Act? And the answer got was that definitely not at all. But I'm looking at clause 6.4, Chair, which has its sub-clauses. And I'm trying to read it, if Advocate Nell can beam it for the purpose of the committee there. Particularly for 6.4.2. After 6.4A.2, it talks to any person transferred in terms of sub-item 1 who, I'll go to 4A.2, is entitled to pension and retirement benefits as if that person were in the service in a post classified in the provision of the Public Service mentioned in Section A, 81AI of the Public Service Act. So it looks like Section A as well make reference to it. Maybe we could go there, Chair, and see if our answers, our clarification that we're seeking can be answered by that section, Chair. But I get the first viewpoint that we just have to get clarification as to whether these employees basically their pension fund is through the GEPF or any other pension fund that should be considered, Chair. Then make a decision as to whether we have to have these clauses or not. But from my viewpoint, I'm thinking of a council of which most of that staff, administrative staff, would come from the department as a startup
But obviously, there are clauses that caters for the council to expand that stuff by using its own resources and all that stuff, Chair. I don't know whether it helps you there, Chair. Thank you.
Ndademeges, do you still need time as the department? I've seen the hand of Ndademangu. I'll come back to you. To take these decisions clearly in terms of even this section? Or can we deal with this issue and finish it as in this meeting?
Through you, Chair, I think we need time. Obviously, you could also listen to the Office of the State Law Advisor that we need clarification on these matters, so that we can articulate well the response, particularly on issues raised by Honorable Mang as well as Advocate Nell, Chair. I think this is not an excuse, Chair. I think from Friday after the session we held where this issue was raised, the department's resources were focused on the issue of rewriting of the clauses for CBRT and all that stuff to provide a response, which is why we have a 12-page document in front of us, Chair. So there was little time to focus on other areas, even though we had managed to have an engagement with the port regulator about whether or not the employees are governed through the Public Service Act, Chair. Thank you. We do really need time, Chair. It's not a small matter, Chair. I think it's a big matter.
So, Advocate Mazombuk.
Chairperson, I would concur with Mr. Mwege that we need time to look into this particular clause 6.
No, you don't only need time to look at that particular clause 6. You need time to respond on clause 23, clause 21. Are you with me, Advocate Masombuga?
Yes, I'm with you.
Clause 67. And clause 69, and that will then include what we are talking about now, so that we dispel the notion that from the onset it is the view of this portfolio committee to change and include the CBRTA and that becoming now changing the body of the act. No, it's not how this committee responded. This committee had given the department an ample time because Ntate Mekets had asked for it. We thought that as we come today, these issues will be clarified and would have dealt with this piece of legislation and ready for the A list. I thought so that as you go back, the committee has not taken a decision, but the committee has given the department an ample time to go and respond to these issues. That will clarify our stand as the committee. I thought I should raise those issues with you, as humble as I'm raising them. Forgive me if at any time I sounded like I'm not presenting myself professionally and with you. I'm sure you understand where we're coming from, Advocate Masombu.
Definitely, I understand, sir.
How long do you need? Remember, next week we should be dealing with a list of this particular bill, but we can then finish the responses if you are ready next week, Thursday.
Chairperson, I think we will need a week to deal with this matter. taking into account that we'll also be dealing with the public hearings for the NRTA.
Okay.
Yes.
Let me go to members. Honorable Hansinga, I saw your hand was up, and Menolo Nontando Luchungu, and Babuma.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, just on the request for more time from the department, I want to reiterate that let's give them time. And let me also confirm that there is a keenness from the DA side towards framing a responsible and a proper legislation on the economic regulator. There is support for this bill. But then we must move progressively and the issues must be removed. And we landed in this situation, Chairperson, because of my objection right at the beginning of this meeting, that we are dealing with too much at the same time. Never before have we had a situation, I'm reflecting from my experience from 2014, that this committee has dealt with three different pieces of legislation at the same time. It's just impossible to handle and to do just to writing good legislation. So, Chairperson, again, I'm saying we have now landed in a situation which is now given us direction, and through your wisdom, you have now suggested that we do take it over a longer period and move into this in alignment. So, Chairperson, give them time. We have enough on the plate. Let's work properly and let's work progressively. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Honorable Nontando Noluchungu, NN.
Thank you, Chair.
Yes.
Mine is a very simple question and I'm hoping to get a simple, straightforward answer. The purpose or the objective of this exercise was to establish a single transport regulator. But right at the end, we are now referred to Rule 286, subsection 4 or subsection B. Why was this not raised right at the beginning, given the fact that the objective of the bill is to establish a single regulator, something that should have been said upfront to say it is going to be impossible to do this because of A, B, C, D. Why only do you raise this right at the end? Thank you, Chair.
Yeah.
Thank you, Menolo Chungu, Babu Uman.
Yeah, Chair, no, I prefer to withdraw. Thank you, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Mamu Noluchungu. This simple question that needs a simple answer. May not be so simple if we are going to take it now. I think Honorable Mangu has also raised that matter. But with fairness also to the department, I think Datemiekit did say last time, I'm sure you were not in, I want to quote him verbatim, I am not a legal person. What the committee is asking makes sense. Let us be given time to go and reflect. He did say that. Am I quoting you correctly, that he makes it?
Yes, Honorable Chair, that's a correct direct quote.
Sure. Now, I think let's allow the department an opportunity and also appreciate their honesty on issues. I think Ntate Mekete has has came out clearly to say they did not have enough time to really go through this and prepare extensively, and that is what I could see. And as a result, we are giving them time to do this thing properly and bring in the meeting. As you have said, you have capable people that they helped you to draft this piece of legislation. Maybe bring one of them or two, so that we can move a bit faster on issues. At that note, I think it will be unfruitful for me to continue this meeting beyond this point on this matter, except to say, let's go to the next item, which does not need the wisdom of Ntate Skhudo and Advocate Masombuka and the rest of other officials, because we'll be dealing with minutes of the 2nd of March and the minutes of the 3rd of March. Can we go straight to the minutes of the 2nd and see a hand of Obaba Umang?
Thank you, Chair. I move for adoption of the minutes as a true reflection. Thank you.
Thank you. Any seconder?
Honorable MacDonald, second Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Any matters arising from the chair? None. Minutes of the 3rd, on the 3rd month, the year 2021. Any mover, Honorable Manu?
I move for adoption of the minutes, Chair, as a true reflection.
Baba Umakosini, make it more.
Second day.
Chair, just a procedural matter. Ms. Noluchungu is in the meeting, so Mr. Chabangu can't second, unfortunately.
I was in the meeting. She was not there in the meeting. That is why I'm second.
Okay, Chairperson, I'll second. We are on mute, by the way, Chair.
It's not me who has muted me, myself. Thank you, Chair, very much. No. I'm addressing your issue, please.
It's but not fair.
No, I'm addressing your issue. Chill a bit. Valerie?
Yes, Chair.
I think Ms. Honorable Makoseni is correct on that note, that he was in that meeting and Honorable Noluchungu was not part of that meeting. Can we correct that?
So if that is your view, then I will abide by it, but it's not procedural, Chair, unfortunately.
No. Let me check this so that I want to express my view. The minutes we are dealing with, Honorable Chabangu was representing EFF and Honorable Noluchungu was not there. Am I correct, Valerie?
Yes, Chair.
Now, when we deal with minutes, in the presence of Menoluchungu can't second because she was not part of that meeting. Am I correct?
Yes, Chair, you're correct.
But Honorable Chabangu can because he was standing in on that particular day. Is that also your understanding?
No,
the issue yesterday is that both members are present, and when both members are present, then the full-time member is the decision maker and not the alternate member.
Okay. That is why I was assisting the process, saying I second.
I want Honorable Makosini to understand also, so that he does not feel that we're dealing with him. Honorable Makosini?
Chairperson.
Not.
I'm happy, but we discussed this in our caucus. It was said that I'm also eligible to speak, but when it comes to voting, I must not vote.
Okay. Can I indulge you? What were you doing just now? You were voting.
I was not voting. I was seconding. Because of the fact that you have alluded to, that okay. Mrs. Noli Chungu made an apology. Procedurally, she was not part of that meeting. And she cannot second the meeting that she was not part of it. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. The minutes have been seconded by Honorable Tamsanga Wagwamapena. I think I hear what the meeting is saying. Artlankakan Tlemrenaka Nalwe Namula Tabi. Tabina Ribuand. Any matters arising from the minutes of the second, of the third? No matter arising. Thank you very much. Let's meet tomorrow at the same time, at the same place, where we shall be dealing with the public hearing. Hearings on the National Road Traffic Amendment Bill, which is a Bill number 7 of 2020, from 9 to 13 hours tomorrow at the same place. Thank you very much, members. Thank you for your participation. Let's meet tomorrow in this platform.
Long live the chair, long live.
Thank you very much. Long live everybody.
Long live the chair.
Thank you, chair.
Thank you.